All right. Well, we are in between sermon series this morning, and so we just finished up in Proverbs, and then next week we're going to be tackling something that follows West Side Stories, our values as a church, going through a sermon on our West Side Church values, and so give you a real indicator of who we are as a church. And I do want to reiterate what Deb was saying about West Side Story. We do have that class starting up next week. And for anybody who's never taken it before, I just want to highly encourage you to join us for that. And I'm not joking, and I'm not just trying to recruit for that event. Well, I am trying to recruit for that event. But it is the single most significant thing that you can do at the church. Yeah, I mean, it's the single most significant thing you could do to get plugged in and to really help just get connected. It's really a magical time. It's a spirit-filled time. It's a time in which God really does some good things. And so I hope that you can come and make it for that, especially if you cook really well, because that's an important aspect of the whole thing. But so I have a theme for this morning, and I put it up here on a graphic. It will happen. It will happen. It's a very faith-filled sermon. You'll understand what the water is about in just a moment. But I want you to turn to somebody next to you and just say, it will happen. Yeah, and then you could turn to that person on the other side of you who was your second choice and say, it's going to happen for you too. So Hebrews 10, verse 36 is kind of a guiding passage for this, and then we're going to get into a narrative, a story. This is what the scriptures say, the writer of Hebrews in 10:36. You need to persevere. And that's the theme. You need to persevere so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. You need to persevere so that you will continue to do God's will. And then you will receive all that he has promised. The longer I've been a follower of Jesus, the less I am impressed with people who start things. And the more impressed I am with people who finish things, who persevere through things and bring things to completion. I'm in awe standing before a couple who has stayed in love for 50 years. That's an amazing thing. That's a miracle, you know, and that's perseverance, right? I'm more impressed with the completion of a project than I am with, you know, the photo op that comes from breaking ground. You know, the completion of things, the perseverance through things, the 50-year journey, right? I mean, that is awe-inspiring to me. And if you talk to me when I was a parent first starting out at 24 years of age, which is the age I was, bouncing little kids on my knee. I was so naive of that journey and where it was going to lead and where it was going to go. If you talk to me today, and I'm more than halfway through that journey, right? It's just a totally different perspective, and things that I didn't think were going to happen happened, and it's been a wild ride, you know. But it's perseverance. And I'm in the middle of that, and I recognize that, and I think that's why messages like today really strike a chord with me. There's something about perseverance that just reflects, you know, what I need, the perspective I need to have. And so some of you, you're in a season right now where you need to really persevere in your marriage. You need to really fight for some things that are going on between you and your spouse. Others of you, you need to persevere in a good work. There's a good work that God has for you to do, and he's calling you to persevere and to push through and not to give up. For others of you, it's your Christian faith. You're under fire and you're under attack, and whether it's doubts or whether it's struggles and question marks you have in your mind about who God is and where he is right now in your life, and you need to persevere through that. And so what I want to do is I want to look at an obscure story, really. In fact, I've heard this story more often, not necessarily in sermons, but in like VBS curriculum, because it's one of those stories that just connects well with kids. It's about a shipwreck. It's about Paul being on a ship, and that ship getting shipwrecked. And so it's kind of like a whole Swiss Family Robinson thing. You could just jump right in and kids really connect with it. But I want to speak about this story. I want to draw something out of this narrative. And the story is what the story is. But there's something deeper going on there. There's some metaphors that we can really grab a hold of. And I don't always encourage you to read the Bible like this, but you know, the Bible is, yes, there's historical context. Yes, it's important to understand, you know, the various things that are going on back in that time frame and you know, in the logistics of the story. That's important. But what's more important, I believe, and what's, I think, a deeper truth is what the Spirit of God draws out of the text. And so we're definitely going to get a taste of what that is like, to read the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that by the end of this message, you'll say that I've taken too many liberties. I think it's right there. I think the Spirit of God might speak to you this morning from this passage. So Paul is, he's in this time of transition and in a time of trouble in his life. He seems to always be in trouble and he seems to always be in transition. But nevertheless, perhaps that's why he is a man of such great faith. Because transition and trouble, you're never going to find a person who's spiritually mature, you know, a rock in the faith who hasn't been through a lot of transition and a lot of trouble. You know, that's usually their storyline. If you were to ask them, you know, where did all this maturity and perseverance and strength and inner stability, where did that come from? Well, it probably came through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations way back in time. And so Paul is, he has that story. And we could read about his story and where he developed a lot of his faith and his perseverance. And it comes from stories like this. But he's in transition because he's a prisoner of Rome. And he's being transported with a bunch of other prisoners on a ship. And so there's probably some 250 of them or whatever. And they're shackled and they're heading towards Rome. And they're getting there, you know, in a very difficult and treacherous journey, and you could just imagine, you know, the journey's enough, but to be bound and to be in chains is another thing. And then if that wasn't bad enough for Paul, he's about to experience something really difficult that isn't even his own fault. And how many of you have been in situations like that before? You're in a bad situation that maybe was your fault, and it got worse because of something that wasn't your fault, you know, and it just kind of, that's called life, I guess. But Acts 27 is where we pick it up, and we're going to begin in verse 9, and this is written by Luke, who's gathering the story. I always imagined that Luke and Paul were sitting by the campfire some night, and Paul's telling them all these stories, and Luke is like, we got to write this down, and so that's what Luke did. Acts 27, verse 9, and he's telling this story from Paul's perspective. He said, we had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. Which, you know, really, you could just kind of make a note in your Bible and just say, that's kind of obvious. Wouldn't that be what the captain would do? You know, he's the centurion, he's in charge of all these prisoners, and it's kind of in Paul's interest to say, hey, hold up, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so fast into where we're going, you know, because possible execution awaits him on the other side. Perhaps he had some skin in the game, you might say. And then beyond that, you know, Paul is essentially saying, well, here's what God told me, right? And people put a lot of crazy stuff behind that phrase, well, God told me. You know, you can kind of almost, it's like the Christian trump card. Well, God told me, so I'm just going to tell you what he said, and you can't say anything about it, right? And that's kind of the way that a lot of people operate. And so perhaps the centurion thought there was a little bit of that going on in the story. And besides, the captain of the ship had maps, and he had incentives of his own. And nevertheless, he had a great deal of experience when it came to the sea and seafaring. And so perhaps the centurion was thinking to himself, I'm going to listen to the captain of the ship. And you know what I was saying before about hearing the voice of God is a caveat, because the truth of the matter is, hearing the voice of God is a really big deal. You know, and people treat it lightly when they throw that phrase out there flippantly. You know, because when you hear the voice of God, that should be a guiding force in your life. And here's where this metaphor kind of comes in, because this ship is on a journey. It's headed somewhere. In all of our lives, it's like that ship. You know, we're navigating things. We're making decisions. We're moving right. We're moving left. You know, we're going with the wind in this direction. We're going with the wind in that direction. And we're navigating on a journey. And we have decisions to make all the time. And the question is, are we going to go with our senses? Are we going to go with what we see in the natural? Are we going to go with the voice of God? And Paul is representative on this ship of the purposes of God and the voice of God. And here he is, this centurion, this captain of the guard, who is being charged with transporting these prisoners, and he has a decision to make. And he's kind of like all of us. Am I going to go with my senses? I'm going to go with what the maps say. Am I going to go with experience here? Or I'm going to go with this crazy prisoner who says he hears the voice of God? And it's one of those very, very difficult things to contemplate in life. I think we'll listen to all the other voices, and we'll try all the other solutions before we hear the opinion of God, before we listen and obey the voice of God. And we have to ask that question: how am I going to steer my life? How am I going to navigate my life? Am I going to navigate my life? Am I going to steer by my senses, or am I going to steer by the voice of God? Because every ship is being steered by something. And here's the thing. It didn't make a lot of sense for a lot of the characters in the scriptures to do the things that they did when they heard the voice of God. And that's a troubling thing for us to contemplate. I don't always advocate for this, all right? I always advocate for throwing sense out the window and just going with the voice of God. But just hear me just this morning, because I think this is really important for some of us in this season of life. Because God is calling you to do some things that are not making sense. And you're really struggling in faith to believe that God has the outcome in his hands. And you want to manipulate it and control it based on your own senses. And it's really important at critical times in life to not only listen to the voice of God, but to take a step of faith and say, I do not understand this. I don't know why I am being called to do this, but I hear the voice of God and I cannot deny it. I cannot block out his voice. I've got to move in the direction that he's calling me to go, because it didn't make sense for Noah to build an ark, right? I mean, it didn't make sense for Moses to stab his staff into the ground and for the Red Sea to part. You know, it didn't make sense for Mary to respond the way that she did. Let it be unto me as you have said. She had a lot at stake in making that decision. It didn't make sense for Jesus Christ to go to the cross, to lay down his life, to defeat death, hell, and the grave. It didn't make sense for the disciples to follow him to the point of death, preach the gospel so that all of us could hear about the thing that Jesus had done for us. It didn't make sense, but they were called to it. They did it because they heard the voice of God. And so you're living your life. Are you living your life in a way that makes sense, or are you living your life according to the voice of God and hearing the Spirit of God? And here's what I wrote down. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. And this is really important. Outcome, how things turn out in the end is up to God. And so that's where that step of faith comes into play. We take a step of faith and we are leaving the outcome to God. But oftentimes that step of faith is that act of obedience, right? Because it's that very thing that we are challenged to do, that very thing that doesn't make sense and it is difficult for us to do. It's difficult to trust. But what we are doing is we're saying, God, I trust you in the outcome. Outcome's God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. The story picks up with a storm that hits. In verse 13, it says, when a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and they sailed close to the shore of Crete. So if you get this light wind picks up and they say, this is our chance. This is our opportunity. And at the beginning of the journey, the wind is going in the right direction. Things seem to be working out okay. And I think that's another metaphor, in a sense, for the way that things can be in life. We take a certain direction, and it's like, for a time, for a season, it's smooth sailing. Things are okay. Things are going the way that I would expect them to. And so they pulled up anchor. They take their chance. And then verse 14, but the weather changed abruptly, as oftentimes it does in life. And a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. And the sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind. So they gave up and they let it run before the gale. So they caught a wind. I mean, they thought it was all good. Things seemed to be working out the right direction. All of a sudden that wind turned into a typhoon, into this massive blast of air. And it's taking them in a direction that they don't want to go now, and things are quickly out of control, and they just give in to the wind. They just, this is blowing us in this direction. We have no control. We can't fight against it. Here we go. And you've been there in life as well. You know, you fall in with a group of people, and before you know it, you begin kind of acting and displaying the same kinds of behaviors and things that they are, and you start falling under the sway of that. And all of a sudden, you're moving in that direction in a force outside of your control. You begin thinking certain thoughts, feeling certain emotions. And before you know it, those thoughts and those emotions are overwhelming you. They're taking control. They're moving your life in a direction. You start cutting corners. And you're doing it to get ahead. And you're getting ahead. It's making a difference in the bottom line. But you start cutting those corners a little deeper. And before you know it, you're in too deep. It's the lie that keeps getting deeper. It's dragging you, and you dig your heels in, and you don't want to go, but before you know it, there's an influence and there's a power that's just moving you, and you're caught up in the sway of this thing. You have no control anymore. You just got to go where it takes you. And he says in verse 16, we sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Kata, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. And then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Sardis off the African coast. And so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship. There's, you know, the digging in of the heels. And they were driven before the wind. And I wonder how many of us could say that we've been driven before the wind because we've ignored the voice of God in our life. And here's the thing about God, you know, I don't even have to speak to what that might be, you know, because you know what it is. And God doesn't condemn us. He doesn't threaten us. He doesn't come and wag his finger in front of us. God calls to us. God reminds us. It's like the story of Genesis chapter, the first few chapters, the fall, chapter 3, where God is walking with Adam in the garden. Adam sins, he falls. He falls sway to this force within him, and God says, where are you? Where are you? This is the voice of God. What are you doing? Where have you gone? How have you fallen so far off course? Return to my voice, hear my voice. That's the voice of God. That's the work of God. In verse 18, the next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. And you might say, you know, from the title of your message, I thought this was going to be encouraging and uplifting, right? And here we are. But I think it's to get to that point, this is what we have to do. I mean, because these are the details of some of our lives, right? We were caught up in something. It's out of control. We start throwing our cargo overboard. We're throwing anything at it. You know, I hope this will fix it. I hope that'll fix it. I'll throw some money. I'll get another loan. You know, we're trying to do everything that we can in our power and ability to rescue the situation, right? And it's a distressing situation, right? And it's like, I've tried everything. I've done everything. I'm throwing all this at it and throwing this out and just trying to do whatever I can to keep from being driven along. But nonetheless, I'm being driven along. And this momentum, it feels inevitable. And I'm dragging my heels at this point. I realize this thing's got me, but I don't know how to stop it. And that seems to be the situation. And in verse 19, it says, the following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. And the terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. And that's a profound statement. I think the description before of them throwing things overboard, that's a distressing situation, right? I mean, that's stressful, but at least they're still trying. At least they feel as though, so you're saying there's a chance, right? There's a chance that we can rescue this thing. There's a chance that we can redeem this. There's a chance that we can get out of the force of this wind. But here, all of a sudden, the storm has blotted out the sun and the stars. You know, and as long as they had, you know, some guiding force, something to see outside of themselves, that there's a chance, there's a possibility. But now that is even blotted out. All hope is lost. And that's despair, right? That's when you sit on your hands and you say, this isn't going to change. This isn't going in the direction of rescue. This is just reality. And things aren't ever going to get better. This is when our inner talk starts changing its tone to, I'm always going to struggle with this. I'm always going to be lonely. That's just how it is. I'm always going to struggle with this addiction. I'm always going to be distressed and depressed. And that's just how it is. I'm going to be critical. I'm going to be pessimistic. That's just life. And when we start throwing things out like that, that's a level of despair. Verse 21 says, no one had eaten for a long time. And finally, Paul called the crew together and he said, and let me just leave you for a moment. This is where the story turns, and I think this is so important. I really believe that for some of you, God wants you to hear something today in this atmosphere of faith, that what I'm describing is so close to your situation that you're like, your ears are attuned, and God wants to speak in this moment. And I want to stand up. I want to stand up like the Apostle Paul stood up. And I want you to hear this message, and I want you to hear it as though God is speaking to you this morning. And I know that puts a lot of weight on what Jeremiah is saying, but that's why I preach, right? I mean, that's what this is. Like, I'm preaching from God's word, and I want you just to hear it because I've heard it. Now, I want you to sense, I want you to know that God knows your situation, that he could speak into your situation, and he can bring you hope, and he can bring you life in this place. And this is what Paul says. He says, men, you should have listened to me. Which every woman in the house this morning says, amen. Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss. You know, this is the I told you so line, and Paul's going to take his moment, right? So that's not the part I wanted you to hear. What I wanted you to hear was this, but now take courage. But now take courage. You can't make up for what happened. You can't go back to when you were 16 and change that decision around. You can't even go back into last week and change that decision around, right? And you can play the shoulda, woulda, coulda, and if I could only undo it, and if I could have done it differently, I would go back and I would do it differently. What about now? But now, God is the God of the right now. And I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul, he says, forget what is behind. I strain forward to what is ahead. I'm looking forward to what is ahead. I'm looking at what is right now. We serve a God who says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So what about right now? And Paul says, take courage. Take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. And is this good news or bad news? You know what I mean? If what you care about the most is the boat and the cargo, then this is bad news, right? And this is why you've lost hope, right? Because the way that you envision for things to happen is not happening, right? And so you have to reassess the situation. And at this point, Paul is saying, none of you will be lost. You know, the ship, we could talk about the ship later. Sometimes our hope is so wrapped up in the plan of how we thought that it was going to work out, that we lose hope when things don't work out the way that we thought they were going to work out. You know, all of a sudden, there is no plan B because plan A contained all of my hope and all of my dreams. You know, I thought I was going to be a lot further along than I am right now. I think most of us in this room probably have thought that. I thought that they would never leave me. I thought that I would be with them forever. You know, I thought that I would get into this university. I thought that I would marry her. I thought that I would marry him. And you're so focused on how you thought that it was going to happen that you're missing what God wanted to do and what he wanted to do to bring it about. And a lot of us would prefer the boat. I mean, I don't know about you, I'm the fan of the boat. I'm a fan of the driest, quickest, easiest route to get to where I need to be. And I suppose if all of our decision-making was perfect, no, not even then. Not even then would we get there in the way that we would prefer to. But it may make the journey a little bit easier. But, you know, we would love for the boat to be intact. We would love for things to work out in the way that we had envisioned. But sometimes that's just not what happens. And so it's one of those situations, right, where their hope is lost and they're struggling to assess, okay, how is this situation going to get rescued? Because the boat is lost. And it may be your fault. It may be that you're like the centurion. You made a mistake. You made a terrible decision. You sinned against God. You turned your back. And things have fallen apart. And it may be your fault. You know, and remember the but now. Right? What are you going to do now? It may be that it's not your fault. And that's the tragic story. You may be like the Apostle Paul, where you're caught up in a situation that, you know, decisions are outside of your control. Decisions are being made by other people that are dictating your destination. And so you've fallen in with this, you know, tragedy. You're caught up in this storm, in this tragic situation. And that's hard to take, right? I mean, that's hard to deal with. But the boat is lost, and now what? And in verse 23, he says, "For last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me." And I love this because, you know, God, he goes before us. God goes behind us. But God is with us. And there's a power of that. You know, I love that God, he reaches ahead into our futures, and he prepares it for us. The scriptures speak about that all the time. I love that God is a God who can go into our past and he can redeem our past. That he can work things for the good for those who he loves and are called according to the purpose. But what I love most of all is that even in the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. He's right beside me. And I think that this picture of Paul just seeing this vision of an angel that is beside him, that is with him on this treacherous journey, even as things have fallen apart, is such a powerful image. And I wonder if you can't see that right now. I wonder if God would just open your eyes and for you to recognize that he's with you, that he's beside you, that he's right there, that he cares, he loves you deeply, and he is working things out. He is going to see his purposes through. His purpose will prevail in your life. You got to keep your courage up. You got to keep your hope. You've got to recognize the presence of God, even in a situation as dark as it may be. You know, we can't control everything. We can't control the circumstances around us. We can't control, you know, the decisions that other people make. What we can control is our courage. What we can control is our willingness to persevere. What we can control is our sense of hope and optimism that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to get me there. I may not understand how he's going to work out all the details. His purposes are going to prevail in my life. Have courage. Find hope in God your Savior. And Paul says this. He says, don't be afraid. The angel says this to Paul. You will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So he says it again. Take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said. We'll be shipwrecked on an island. It's not how I predicted. It's not according to logic. Paul says it's going to be the way that he said. It's going to be the way that he said all along from the beginning. You know, it's not our senses. It's the word of God in our lives. And this is where the power of it comes in. And I don't know about you, but I want to listen to the voice of God. I want to hear his voice. I want his voice to speak above all others. And when it comes to navigating these important decisions that we make in life, these directional decisions, when it comes to maybe a decision that you don't even realize needs to be made, but you need to have the courage to stand up and make it. When it comes to living our lives to recognize God's voice, to hear him above all others. It's going to be, Paul said, according to what he said. And that's where his faith comes from. That's where his certainty comes from. That's where his courage comes from, because Paul has heard the voice of God before in his life. He's heard it before, and he knows where this is going. He knows how it's going to end. He may not understand why we had to go through all these twists and turns in order to get here, but we're going to get here. We're going to get there. Right? This is the word of God, and when God speaks, it happens. And Paul knows this, and he knows this by experience. And so he's this person of faith, and he's the one that stands up in the storm. He says, take courage, men. Take courage. God has spoken to me. And if you would have listened to me when God spoke to me in the past, we wouldn't have had to go through all that we went through, but you didn't. But now, take courage, because even now, even in the midst of that past mistake, God is going to rescue us. God is going to bring this thing through to its end, because his purposes prevail in our lives. It will happen. It will happen. And so I want to pray for you this morning. And I want you to lift up whatever is coming to your mind. Okay, I don't know if it's that relationship, if it's that big decision that you have coming up, if it's a current storm in your life that's raging. I don't know exactly what it is that you're going through, but I believe that God, he wants to speak to you now, and he wants you to get your attention, and he wants to say, hear my voice. Hear my voice. And no matter what, it doesn't matter what has happened in the past. You can't change what happened in the past. You can make a decision today, and you can listen, and you can obey, and you can trust that the outcome is in my hands. And so let's pray. Let's bring these things before God. Let's say, God, would you speak? And would you give us the courage to take those steps of faith that we need to take and to trust you for the outcome? Because your purpose is going to prevail in our lives. And it's going to happen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. God, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. You would speak to our spirits in this place today. God, we know that life is like a journey. God, and we have so many twists and turns, and things come upon us unexpectedly. And God, maybe we're in a situation right now that was our fault. Maybe it's a situation that we are totally unresponsible for. And nevertheless, God, we are there. And God, what has brought us to that point is not what matters now. What matters now is the decision that we make today to take courage and to find faith and to trust you, and to take that step, and to say, God, if you will speak, if you will help me navigate the situation, I will follow you. And your purposes will prevail in my life. God, I may be going on in this storm for a long journey. Yeah, this may take a great deal of time. And I'm going to be one who perseveres. I'm going to be one who pushes through. I'm going to be one who listens to and obeys your voice so that I can receive what you have promised. And God, I pray for those who are struggling in their marriage, God, that they would take courage and they would fight. Lord, I pray for those who are in the midst of a storm and in a season in which everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. God, that you would lift their spirits and you'd help them see that you are standing beside them. God, I'm praying for those whose faith is failing them. God, their faith is weak. And God, I pray that you would infuse them with your strength and with your power that comes through your Holy Spirit. God, would you speak to them today and would you bring life to those dry bones? God, we are asking for your power. We're asking, God, for you to speak your word. And we pray that you would unstop our ears. You would give us ears to hear, Lord, that we would listen, that we would pay attention to the voice of our Heavenly Father who's calling us. We thank you for your word most of all. God, we thank you that some of us who walk into this room, we just needed to hear this today. God, I know I needed to hear this today. And God, I pray that you would fill us with hope, fill us with joy, fill us with a sense of your goodness and with the knowledge that you are standing beside us, that your presence is here. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.